Hi, this is Paula Gloria, and I'm standing in for Alan Steinfeld's New Realities. And we're going to have an hour where I'm going to share the time with my colleague, Joe Friendly. He does Truth for a Change on Manhattan Neighborhood Network. Welcome, Joe.
Hi, Paula Gloria.
And also Michelle Noble. She's a friend of mine who is a healer, and she's from Tahiti originally. So welcome, Michelle.
Thank you.
What would you like to talk about, Joe?
You know, the only thing that comes to mind is that our mutual friend, David, who went to California, has gotten involved with a woman who is quite comfortable in the spiritual realm, and she's complaining he's not spiritual enough.
Oh, really? Maybe I'll put that. I'm hoping the sound is good for everybody, because we're on the speaker here.
But I really didn't have a good grip of what to do about it.
I see. What to do if you're in a relationship with a spiritual person and you're not that spiritual? This could be like a tips show for people who want to... By the way, if anybody out there has a specific question, you can reach us at 888-228-4494. That's anywhere in the U.S. and Canada, or worldwide, 877-489-6350. Or go to bbsradio.com and you can get those numbers. But this person in California, I know.
I wonder if that's spiritual.
Yeah, well, sometimes spiritual people don't want to see. You think that that's...
No, I don't think so. A mathematician. Kind of literal-minded, I think.
We love music.
The latest is that she put it to him yesterday. He was all torn up that other woman is interested in him. Birthday wise, she has the right birthday for him. Birthday wise, the spiritual one is the worst case for him. Told him about the other one.
Oh, Joe has something about the birthday.
Yeah, Michelle was saying, "Oh, tell me about it there," and I thought. I believe that I have made a grand breakthrough in the tradition of breakthroughs for appreciating what's really behind astrology. Simple proposition that the stars are mainly a good way of seeing time. Talk about only one star. Time. What we've learned already in astrology, we know that as the baby develops, a lot of that gets translated into adult behavior. And the earliest learning I've discovered is a relationship back to the sun. A good place to start is to realize that most animals in nature have a particular time of year, or a couple of times of year that they're characteristic of their species. History. Some are born when the lions are born, and some are born when the scorpions are born, and some are born when the crabs are born. Well, I've looked in a book about it, and like on the scorpion, and they were a little iffy, and they knew what I was looking for. And, oh, we have a call, maybe. You have to push this?
No, we can.
We're okay now?
We're okay.
Oh, okay, yeah. It alternates rather than close.
Right, we'll just ignore
it. So meanwhile, back at the scorpions out there, it might be an exaggeration, but in the book I read on the scorpions, they did say that they were examining, and sure enough, there were some born under the sign of the scorpion, but it would be nice if I could say that. For example, in lions, I read in the library, I found some books about when lions are born. And they said that the female can get in heat at any old time, but they do tend to cluster around the time of Leo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that sort of thing. But just as a general proposition, in other words, if sheep tend to be born at the beginning of spring, then those traits, do they translate into what kind of sheepish qualities? Now, to be sure, the symbol for the sheep is the ram, who's not
sheepish,
right? So that is, I think, a good move that I typically tell people who are born around that time, that have the kind of mind that walks into a situation and immediately sees better ways to do things. And people come back and say, wait a minute, who do you think you are? You just walk right in here. We've been doing it this older, stupid, inferior way for all our lives. And just like that, you think you have a better idea? How do you know it'll work? Where's your training? What's your pedigree? And I tell these people, look, buddy, I know it's a good idea. I know it'll work. You just tell them that I, whatever you can do. I mean, as a whole people, if we were able to realize that. Given more appreciation for their ideas. There is a logic to letting them have more control than average. In the language of Abraham Maslow, who was born today, April 1st, as he calls it, good choosers. They expect to have good judgment. And I tend to match everybody up 6 months away, so the people who get married to these early April people are the people born in early October who typically have bad judgment and should be listening to these April people. So anyhow, the argument goes into the mathematics of the sun's relationship, and it comes down to a pretty simple proposition that people who had high school trigonometry can understand, but the rest of the characters, they go, I wasn't good in math, and give me a break. But basically, it's quite simple. That the energy flow from the sun to the earth, particularly in our temperate zone, follows a very well-known mathematical curve called the sine cycle. S-I-N-E. And, although sometimes it's abbreviated. And the sine cycle is a beautiful marriage of the line and the circle. It's about the smoothest curve of the different mathematical curves. And it is the undulating, going up and down hills and valleys, that electricity in our current follows that curve. And the solar energy flow in 1 year has that same sine cycle shape. Now, sine cycles, they learn in trigonometry, or if you want to pass the college boards on a cram course, they have three dimensions, frequency, amplitude, and phase. Frequency is how many wiggles per how much time. Amplitude means how high it goes and how low it goes. But the third dimension, Michelle, that third dimension, phase, most people give me a blank look. What's phase? And phase is the idea that each point on the circle is special. I mean, each point on the sine cycle. And so phase is which point is which. Or another way of looking at that is if you're going to draw a whole sine cycle, which point should you start from? Typically, people understand phase in that respect. You could start from a high point and go to another high point. You could go from the middle and go to another middle. And so So starting point, we can say, is phase. And it turns out that birthday is your starting point, not the solar time cycle. And therefore, your birthday is actually a dimension with respect to the powers of the sun. Everybody gets a different solar cycle as their introductory life, their introductory lesson to life. That's why it has such a... Well, that's not exactly why. That's a piece of the why. The other piece of the why is to say, again, most animals have one time a year they're born, but Mother Nature, when it came to humans, decided to let us have the full variety. So the females are in heat 13 times a year. Each different egg is destined for a different phase on the sign cycle, a different introductory lesson in life, a different way of the senses being taught how to deal with situations. In other words, the human is one of the few animals that has eggs ripening throughout the span of the year. There's other animals that do. For example, the rat. The female will ovulate whenever it gets humped. And there are other animals like that, but most animals have particular times that they ovulate. Well, as we study phase...
Joe has a grand plan.
My grand plan is that instead of just everybody measuring everybody by how close they resemble the models we've come hooked on in television and ads and cover stories and all that, that the real value of the other sex is how the mind of your mate matches your mind. And when you meet just the right person, it is actually perceived as beneficial to share your thoughts with the other person. I have to keep secrets, that you just interact, you have a confidant that it really works, and you celebrate, wow, is that why men and women were created? They actually can share intimacy in a positive, useful, beneficial. And when I see people just sort of wandering around, stumbling, or when I read the Craigslist ads, they want somebody who likes candlelight dinners and has a good sense of humor. Lots of luck, honey. It's like they're totally in the dark.
They don't know what to ask.
And so what it turns out is that everyone should ask for somebody whose birthday is 6 months from theirs. And if you had a whole bunch to pick from, it probably would be better. What we should arrange is to have locations around New York City where all the December 22nds can meet the June 22nd, and all the December 20th can meet June 20th. As far as how far off you can get and still be happy, I do not know the answer. I would say at least 7 days.
A new match comes.
A new match gadget. A new match concept.
We need a June 20th and a June 22nd.
I need a September 10th. I'll settle for a September 11th. And I was thinking even more recently that if I had been saying all this, if I had been saying all my life I needed September 11th, and then boing, September 11th came, I would have been more shook up. But since it was only the 10th, I didn't quite make the connection with September 11th. Get married to the whole September 11th movement.
You're married. Doesn't make sense. You probably have something that is calling you.
That's true, because my father's September 10th.
Well, no, I think that my fascination with September 10th is that my birthday, March 10th, is close to the eyes of March, and we are into the truth. So it's a truth thing, that there is like a 9/11 is such a big fat lie that it just my sense of truth was able to perceive it as a lie, and my, whatever you want to, what is the word, my advocacy, my role is as a truth teller, a truth fighter, is to fight the big lie. It just annoys the hell out of me.
People that are irritated about
9/11. Oh, yeah, that's true. You know, I did run into a woman this weekend who was sitting at the 9/11 table at the New Life Expo. That's something everyone should know, that this year at the New Life Expo in New York City in March, we had among the vendors for water filters and face healers, we did have a 9/11 table where we sold books and magazines and solicited people to sign to get a new 9/11 investigation commission on the New York City ballot, because it is our legal right. We did have jurisdiction in New York City to conduct an investigation of why it all happened. So if we can get something like 30,000 signatures by June or November or something, then force it on the ballot, and then the people vote on whether they want to have a 9/11. And in the particular ballot that we're circulating, the petition, we already named the commission members. By Philip Zelikow. Enough can be said by the fact that his PhD thesis had the title The Creation and Maintenance of Public Myth. That's what he's been doing, is he created the public myth with his seminar in 1998 called Catastrophic Terrorism, Elements of National Policy, which was attended by the Bush administration characters out of office in 1998. And then he was appointed, of all things, the managing director of the 9/11 Commission in Washington. So he was able to by not even considering the possibility that it was an inside job, that it was controlled demolition. That's the main reason that, and his friends. So, that was off to the side, but in general...
What happens after the news?
Well, if they can present proof that it was controlled demolition, for example, that they subpoenaed employees of the Controlled Demolition Incorporated company. That's, what did you do? Yeah, we had the plan. I was the guy who had the top 30 stories leaned over. I had to push this button over here because we needed a sudden drop. Otherwise, that thing would have fallen over there. And we made the call to bring down the other tower first, even though it was hit second, because the smoke was about to clear and we needed that much cover to get the thing started, because otherwise it was obvious that it was get that spot going. They could put the rabbit back in the head. Back in the can, or whatever you call it.
Yes.
Okay, sorry about that little delay there. Joe had just expressed his view about the reinvestigate 9/11 with better commissioners than ones who whose expertise is the care and maintenance of public myth. That's a little disconcerting. My recent research has led me into the direction of the television fakery done during 9/11, that there are impossible images that were shown on television, like an airplane coming really level for quite a while in one shot, and then the same airplane, in order to hit that spot, has to make a very dramatic dive, and the reason they wanted that one to be the plane was because it was a missile coming in. So in order to account for the missile, they called it the airplane, forgetting that there was another shot where that airplane was coming in at a different angle. And that points to the media and the efficiency with which the buildings went down has to do with very sophisticated and advanced power in the form of weapons that most of society doesn't even know exists. It's kept under military secrecy. And the importance of determining whether it was a simple controlled demolition or whether it was a function of directed energy weapons is, once you know in the case of the directed energy weapons, it could only be certain people, because other people don't have access to those weapons. Whereas anybody can get thermite on eBay or the tools for controlled demolition. And things like George Bush's brother owning Controlled Demolition, Inc., that's part of the psychological operation that was set up. People like Stephen Jones, that heads up the 9/11 truth movement, part of the dramas, they have him fired. So then everyone goes, yeah, you know, he was fired, therefore he must be the real truth seeker. And not really looking that he has an extensive background in the directed energy field and was also responsible for killing cold fusion, which is a method of getting energy from the vacuum. Now, getting energy from the vacuum goes into the whole realm of Einstein's relativity, that him saying that nothing could go faster than the speed of light, he's actually wrong. And when people start worshiping science and scientists as geniuses, and they say they're so smart you can't understand what they're saying, they never consider, well, maybe you can't understand what they're saying because what they're saying isn't right. And that what should bear out in the case of science is not the theory, but the experiment. And if experimental evidence is shifted and changed, like at MIT, when they had the studies on cold fusion 25 years ago, and they suppressed the results, or at the last minute, after taking in all the data from the experiments for the final papers, they change it and say that there's no excess energy in order for it to get killed. And you find a guy that was involved in the killing process, heading up a 9/11 truth movement, pushing something like controlled demolition, and making it shameful to think in another direction, because you're ridiculed if you're starting to think about directed energy weapons or you're wanting to think outside with that group. I think basically, in order for us to move into the new realities, and that's the show that Alan asked me to conduct, I think new realities implies a worthiness from the common person. Common people have to do something from their side to ready themselves, to have the ability. It's not like deserve, like somebody's going to reward you. It's that without doing a certain amount of work from your side, you can't comprehend either the horror or the promise of liberation that's right at our fingertips. It can't be handed to you by an authority. Part of the process is thanking the authorities, But then being able to fire them if they're not serving your needs, and having the confidence within yourself that you can. The directed energy weapons, we would probably need video. Just talk about it. Look at the different websites. The corporations that are invested in these weapons. Have an understanding of the secret budgets that go on. Where the taxpayer money goes isn't often considered in the national security. The taxpayer to know. National security can also be a good cover for people who want to get away with murder.
Other people don't always hear this type of speech. And I appreciate it very much because although my sense is that not having studied all that, I have just a sense that what you're saying is a total sense.
Yeah, that's another thing.
When I was at Ground Zero, the idea is that it's so horrifying that we can have but they would show us cartoons. Getting involved. That's so horrifying. We have weapons. You don't want to know about it. You don't even want to think about it. That you're part of it. Because you don't want to think about it. So you kind of need great teachers that can take you by the hand and sort of force you to think about it. Force you in a loving way. This is for your own good. This is for the sake of you. In this civilization, which has this it will be in your destiny, even though this is the entertainment, the education that you have is part of the cycle. So that they can
what I was saying.
Maybe pick it up and talk.
What?
Can
you hear? Sorry. All right. What I was saying is that I appreciate your sharing your insight here because the regular person does not always, actually, the regular person does not make enough efforts. This is what I'm hearing from you. And it is actually important to step into the picture because more can happen of this nature. Any disaster, maybe more. If more disasters, more bigger 9/11, I would say. And if people don't wake up, don't even search, take a part into this, what had happened. It's already showing that it's grave, I would say. Because to me, it's very obvious when I see a military invasion anywhere that there's power that a country can use we have all those forces, all those technologies that are hidden or smart enough to cover up.
You mean could be used for good?
Both ways.
Yeah.
So it is our responsibility to understand what the military is actually doing, all those forces are doing. All, not just one nation, but all of us have to really get into studying what everybody is doing, what the weapons are about, or what war really is about too. It's something that we need to understand in a very deep way, because people tend to avoid the subject. They hear it, but they actually put this aside. You know?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure.
My turn. I think that what's in the way of new reality is, in particular, the media. And the way the media has treated 9/11, I think, is the most recent and most powerful proof of their unworthiness to continue in their power. That the media do not provide the kind of information we need to be an informed democracy. And if we're not an informed democracy, we're not a real democracy, and indeed we are a sham democracy. My complaints, clear my throat, but my complaint with Paula Gloria's alternative to the 9/11 mainstream is the following. We share, I believe, the general proposition that the way the towers came down was not the official story of the planes causing the towers to come down. The planes did not cause the towers to come down. The towers were rigged in advance with explosives. My theory. And the Bush administration, the Bush family didn't own the demolition company, but they did own the security company that controlled security at the Boston Logan Airport and both towers, or all three towers, all three buildings, 1, 2, and 7. And therefore, by controlling the security, they could allow in controlled demolition people to plant the cutting charges and the explosives. But in particular, I would agree with Paula Gloria that since it was an arranged event by the U.S. government, that indeed there.
Oh.
No, gee.
Okay, I just want to say I don't believe it was the U.S. government. I feel it was an international drugs and weapons cartel that has the power to buy off the media to sell an agenda, which would be the agenda to go to war. And all of the things Joe's talking about is part of the psychological operation to sell this agenda. So it would be like a organism that's infected by a virus or a cancer that starts to take over the organism. You don't want self-hatred of the government.
Well, thanks for turning over the talker to me now. The main point is this, that most of the public, well, actually, I don't know what the percentages are. It's about half and half, or maybe. Most of the public by now thinks there's something suspicious about the events of 9/11. The hole in the Pentagon was a little too small for an airplane, a lot of people have come to conclude, reasonably so, I think. But in particular, the way the towers came down in approximately 10 seconds apiece is approximately the speed of a falling bowling ball from the roof. And that only occurs in modern times when a building is brought down with cutting charges and explosives by a professional controlled demolition company. There are only about 10 or less in the United States that have the experience and the expertise to be able to do that. One of those 10 companies was indeed on the scene for the towers that name of that company is, in fact, Controlled Demolition Incorporated. And, again, it is normal for a building brought down by controlled demolition to come down at the speed of a bowling ball. In other words, when they bring a building down with controlled demolition, they use the forces of gravity professionally, masterfully, and that's why, invariably, with controlled demolition, buildings do come down at the speed of gravity. Indeed, all three buildings did come down at the speed of gravity, and therefore that points pretty tightly, pretty comfortably, to just good old-fashioned, normal controlled demolition. The other buildings that came down didn't come down that day. They all suffered damage from pieces of the other buildings falling off, or in Building 6 there's a hole in the middle. We don't know about what caused it. However, in general, we can we can be pretty comfortable in saying that the way the buildings came down was quite comfortably explained as controlled demolition. And one of the biggest pieces of evidence that I haven't mentioned so far is the fact that there were pools of molten iron at the bottom of all three buildings that stayed molten for several weeks after the events of 9/11. And that molten iron is the tip-off that thermate was used, because molten iron is the normal result from using cutting charges. When you use cutting charges, you create molten iron. It gathers in little rivulets because it burns its way through everything else and forms at the bottom of buildings. And when you bring a building down with controlled demolition, when you use cutting charges, you invariably will find a pool of molten iron at the bottom. So that's, you know, another piece of evidence supporting the proposition.
I just want to say I talked to somebody who worked on the cleanup, and he never mentioned that there was any molten iron. So there's contesting that there was any of this molten iron in the big pictures that they showed of them, saying that somebody's fireman's face was looking over and his face was glowing, looking at the molten iron, that if that was so, that this big vat of molten iron was there, or metal, that his face would have been melted off. It would have been too hot. And that picture then was taken from the record. Stephen Jones took that picture. Stephen Jones Ward took that picture out.
Now, in terms of new realities, of all the loving people I know, for gentle, sweet Paula Gloria to throw the label war criminal at gentle, sweet Stephen Jones provoked me to give to her with love a new DVD of Stephen Jones that I trust she will see that. And in this video, he starts off speaking at length about this thing she's complaining about. She's claiming that he's the one who pulled the brake on the development of cold fusion. And what he explains in his talk, before he gets into the 9/11 stuff, which is mainly what the talk is about at the University of California in Berkeley, November 11, 06, is that the particular approach to cold fusion by Pons and Fleischmann was not a good one, but there were some other ones, and he does agree that it is important for cold fusion, and he wants it to work, but he wants it to work with stuff that works. And there were some people who were using fraud to make their data look good when it wasn't good, and that was an issue. But maybe after she sees that video, she will go all the way and come back to Joe Friendly and controlled demolition. But in other words, she has to say that there isn't even the pool of iron. There was a MIT guy who said that the buildings came down from the airplane attack. So, I mean, there are some bad people at MIT. I wouldn't argue that. Oh, boy. So, as far as a new reality goes, if we can prove that Cheney, Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz, Zelle Cow, Condoleezza Rice, Pearl, Myers. If these guys created 9/11 as a false flag operation to take away our rights, to create a police state, to allow adventures in the Middle East of a military nature, to seize the oil-rich territories of other nations, if we can show that, if we can show that the media is complicit, then indeed we need a new reality. We have to create a new form of government. We need new people. We need new leaders. And it is my hope that this time we're spending, this effort to bring the truth about 9/11 to the public, will result in a broad brush approach to changing the leadership of our country, and in particular the media. The media is really the biggest break right now at political change. And with the advent of the internet, before it gets swallowed up by the biggies like they did television, we do have a window of opportunity to present to the public a vision of what could be, that the public could say, yeah, let's do that instead of what we got. And wowee, we'll have a new reality.
Well, as far as the media being the problem, I think what I like for new realities, and I thank Joe for coming back to that, you know, subject and title of the radio show. What I like about going into, like Michelle said, the topics of really understanding the weaponry that we have and the technology that we have is that, or even, you know, the positive side of all the destructive ability of this technology, which would be the liberation of mankind. You wouldn't be having $50, $100 electricity bills. You'd be, you know, you wouldn't have to pay so much, if anything, you know, for your car to be moving around. All of these things, it's almost as shocking as 9/11 going down, because you have to get through your issues of self-shame, of self-worth. You know, do you deserve to have such technology at your disposal? And my conclusion when I look really deeply, or even think, because I don't believe that cold fusion was fraudulent. I believe that Stephen Jones was part of suppressing it, and that's why I use a strong term like war criminal, insofar as somebody in a position of power helps lead a country to war. That's the term that you use. For crime, I don't believe that punishment ever works, so I'm not a big advocate of the prison system to be changing anything. I also don't have much hope about scapegoats, that if you just round up a bunch of people, whether it's Cheney or Rumsfeld, Condoleezza Rice, and you temporarily give people their lust for blood and vengeance, it's going to be a very temporary and short-lived feeling of satisfaction. I think with media, if we're really honest with ourselves, you find, you know, even my good friend Molly, if she's depressed, she doesn't want to be watching heavy Watergate or something thoughtful. She wants to look at TV, just regular TV, to unwind and chill out. So I think the media that Joe has in mind is going to take some effort from the side of the people who are watching the media. We can't just blame the leaders who are giving us something, because we also have to take responsibility for watching it. And I think that if somebody wants something deeper, that they have to really have it deep in their heart that they want something deeper, so that when the teacher comes along, or whoever comes along that will provide something deeper, that we can remember that we asked for it, and even if it's unpleasant initially and not what we had hoped and isn't, you know, pleasing and satisfying in the ways that we're used to being stroked through advertising and regular media, then, you know, we're going to have to say, I'm not as ready as I thought I was for the new media, because it's not a matter of pulling out the leaders that we have and putting in better guys, but it's about being better people ourselves.
Maybe I can say from a spiritual standpoint, let's say when we, the fact that we're alive, just the fact that we're alive is not just a wonderful, wonderful blessing, but if we consider the media who has this powerful, who is using a powerful tool to inform or misinform people, they have to realize that they're actually destroying, by misinforming people, they destroy so many lives, and the consciousness is something that we should really look that, how can I say that?
I think we have to face that we have destroyers.
Yeah, destroyers, yeah, because instead of actually building, it's contradictory to life. You know, a lot of people complain about people who abort, but they abort life.
Abort?
Yeah. Is taking life when you misinform, when you guide people towards destruction, you take away life. So I think it is, you know, it's not being pro-life here.
Well, to try to get a grip on the idea, I think that the a place to start our design of a new reality is to look at commercialism as a mentality that we understand by now pretty well. So much of our society. It is a mentality that is fundamentally lacking in morality. And to allow that mentality to control so much of our life, to control our media, to control our culture, to control our manufacturing, and now to control our government, is a recipe for disaster. And the recipe for the cure for the new reality is to see commercialism for what it is and see the urgency of replacing that with a mentality that is moral. The name for that reality, that new way of alternative to commercialism, I would just leave it at morality, at virtue, at people being good to each other, kind, truthful, caring, sensitive. Commercialism isn't that. Commercialism is maneuvering for advantage. Commercialism is avoiding the harm in its wake of operations. And it is presenting itself in America as freedom itself. Commercialism is presented as a freedom. The free market is another name for it, but that's where we're at right now in the United States. 9/11 could pull the rug out from under the whole charade right now. If John Conyers were to say that all America should check out the 9/11 thing from the point of view of the new DVDs that have been created or the books, if we could actually face the truth about 9/11, that would be a radically new perspective on just how much we do have to change. But I don't know if we're going to win over Paula Gloria. That's the troublesome one here. That
when Joe says win me over, and I'm just wanting to study the full power that we have, that to me is why Conyers is not going to respond to a limited so-called truth movement, that it is itself part of the problem. Because it doesn't have the full truth. It was not a controlled demolition, because you would have the weight of the entire building. You'd have that amount of rubble. It was actually demolecularized. It was destroyed. It never hit the ground. That's why nothing next to it was hurt. And, you know, it's like Michelle said earlier, she's innocent one way or another. I mean, not even knowing about the so-called truth movements, right? You're innocent. And she's just saying that part of living in this civilization
is we should study the weapons. And that's what Nico Haupt was saying, to have a peace movement that doesn't promote the knowledge of our power to destroy. How could that be a peace movement that's not impotent? You're impotent to give peace if you don't understand your weapons. And in India, when in ancient times, when the warriors were going to study how to use their weapons, they worshipped them. They understood that there was a huge power in them that they wanted to be mindful of and approach in a way that their teacher would find them worthy to hold those weapons. And we don't even know what those weapons are, because we hold on to things like controlled demolition. We hold on to airplanes. Even those with controlled demolition know that airplanes didn't do it, and yet they irrationally insist that there had to be airplanes rather than face the full horror that we were shown cartoons in order to go to war. So.
Oy, boy, what? That's what us 9/11 truth movement people have to deal with, the fringe element that believe it wasn't planes, that believe it wasn't controlled demolition. Dear sweet Paula Gloria, the... Now, when it comes to looking at secret weapons, we can look at the fact that we do have secret weapons. But, unfortunately, it is not necessary to go in the direction of secret weapons to point to the way the buildings came down like controlled demolition, because they were controlled...
psychological operation. You know, the Bush's brother, it's called Controlled Demolition, Inc. Duh. Controlled Demolition, Inc. You know, big deal. And big deal if Stephen Jones was fired from his university. It's part of the drama in the theater.
Let's go to that one. She has to deal with the fact that Cheney was in Utah and had a talk with the president of the university that Stephen Jones was employed at. And the press reported that their conversation talked about things that they chose not to characterize with any explanation, any title. They just left it unsaid what they talked about. But a week later, Stephen Jones was fired by that president. Now, Paula Gloria has to deal with that and say, well, they just did that so that it would be a limited hangout, that they just wanted to remember. But the fact is that for the year or two before that occurred, Stephen Jones was the number one scientist in the United States, pointing the finger of suspicion and doubt at the official story of 9/11. So it is more likely than not that it was, in fact, an embarrassment to Cheney and Rumsfeld and the Bush administration in general to have it pointed out that the buildings came down because of controlled demolition, and that's why they had him fired, as opposed to the idea that they, what again, that they wanted to confuse us and brainwash us?
Psychological operation.
The psychological operation is to say that the Arabs did it, not to say that it was controlled demolition. So to say...
demolition is also part of the psychological operation, but we can go out with Joe explaining how airplanes go through steel.
The group that Paula Gloria has affiliated with says that it couldn't have been planes that made the holes in the buildings, the shot of the plane going through the building like cutting through butter. I've learned recently from Web Ferry's website that the perimeter columns of the World Trade Center, they were of steel that was approximately a third of an inch thick. So we're not talking about heavy duty steel. We're talking about relatively thin steel. There were, it looked like, about six of those popped on the left side of the fuselage, But the main thing is, when a plane is going 500 miles an hour, the energy is the square of the velocity, so we're talking about huge amounts of energy. So it's not that troubling that the planes could make big holes.
But if you have a little fly on the windshield in the car, does the fly go through the windshield of the car?
The problem with that story is the car is going 50 miles an hour, not the fly. If the fly is going 50 miles an hour and not the car, then it would cause damage to the windshield.
We'll have to have a physicist look at that, because the impact, it doesn't make any difference which one is moving that fast. By the time they meet. If a little fly was going 50 miles an hour and the car windshield was stationary and it hits that bang at 50 miles an hour, I would bet that the fly would take the worst of it, just like the airplane. The thin airplane doesn't go cut through a building. An airplane that would come to my building right here in Gramercy Park, you know, the airplane's going to crumple. There'll be wreckage in my bedroom. You can see that hole where the lady's waving from. You don't see one shred of an airplane. The whole thing went into it intact completely. And to me, if this show's about new realities, that's the painful part, is to see my good friend Joe so engrossed in this sub-myth. It's not the original myth about the airplane melting the building with steel, you know, that the fuel tanks melted down the building. But the controlled demolition is another level of a myth. And it's not seeing science, and my feeling is ultimately it will be our own human bodies that will be the physical laboratory, and that will wear our philosophies that way and know it by our relationships. So I think it's about time to leave, right? It's 11 o'clock. You want to, here's Joe can go out.
Long live the truth. May the truth overwhelm us all with its freedom provoking. What does the truth do for you?
I believe in freedom, and I believe that each individual should really look into the truth, no matter how long it takes. You have to collect pieces and thank all those people who have been involved in that. Thank all, and if you can just continue getting this passion of the truth. The truth liberates you.
How do you deal with people who block the truth? Because they're clearly here.
They're clearly here. They're clearly everywhere.
Repeat that.
They are clearly here.
No, that people block the truth.
What do you want me to
say? She stated it was here.
I was just asking Michelle, what do you do about people who block the truth? How do you deal with those people? Not just people who brought down the building, but subsequent to the building being brought down, it's so difficult to, you know, you have YouTube sites being taken down, that as soon as you get a body of knowledge amalgamating, that you've got that blocked. How do you deal, as a healer, how do you deal knowing that there's such people out there? You know what I'm saying? Not only bringing the buildings down, but continuing in the deception.
You do it with art. You do it with empathy. Well, but I certainly believe that there's people blocking the truth. Like, here I am offering you some. Okay.
Go ahead, Dave.
No, like here I'm dealing with you. You say you're dealing with me as somebody blocking the truth. I'm saying I'm dealing with you as somebody blocking the truth.
I'm saying I can't believe that an airplane can go through steel. That has never been done before or since. Show me another example of an airplane that goes through one side of a building and comes out the other.
First of all, the aluminum wings of an airplane are strong. It's not a beer
show
can.
Another picture.
Huh? I mean, they're built to be strong. They have all kinds of reinforcement inside. You know, they have braces, and they do what they do to make them strong because they have to support the airplane. They have to. But anyhow, as far as where to go on the web to see this.
I'm explaining to Michelle that the picture of the TV fakery, if the reference point was a helicopter taking a picture of the building, then by the time it went back to the control room and they put the computer-generated airplane, the helicopter drifted to one side, and as a result, the computer-generated airplane, the cartoon, poked out to the other side, and that's what was broadcast on national television. They saw an airplane go in one side of the building and come out the other. And the entire psychological operation is what I feel that my good friend Joe is part of, and that's what I grieve over. Because if people are involved with the psychological operation, you can't connect with their soul. And this is Paula Gloria standing in for Alan Steinfeld's New Realities, and we were considering the whole new reality of perception and taking a relook at 9/11, what happened with the official story and what happened also with the various unofficial stories or the so-called, I call them so-called 9/11 truth movements. And Joe was an exemplary model of somebody who in good, heartful way was defending it, and my good friend Michelle here, who's a healer, was just watching this from her, I would say, Polynesian eyes, which I really appreciate. Thank you very much. This is Paula Gloria, over and out for Alan Steinfeld's New Realities.